Hello, welcome to another episode of Hey, It Gets Better. I'm your host, Katie Watson. This is the podcast all about the ups and downs of life and how ultimately it gets better. Today, I'm joined by Amy Louise Jackson. Amy is a self-discovery and empowerment coach, NLP trainer, and business mentor. I had the pleasure of meeting Amy in my co-working space, and she is one of the most wise and inspiring people I've had the pleasure of meeting. So I think you'll really enjoy this episode. But before we get into it, a quick word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Interlude. Interlude is a beautifully designed digital library of high quality work breaks to help you get your work done, feel great while doing it, and have more gas in the tank for the things you love. With breaks across 8 different categories, such as stretching, meditation, art, and cooking, all designed by experts in their field, there's something for however you want to feel. Sign up now with the promo code BETTER to get a month free on top of a 2-week free trial. So let's get going with the episode. Hey, Amy, welcome to Hey, It Gets Better. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Amazing. Now, as you know, the podcast believes everyone has a Hey, It Gets Better story. And one of the reasons I invited you on is because I just think yours is so relatable and really like something everyone needs to hear. So I was wondering if you could start off, give us a little bit of background to your story and share a little bit of it with us.
I will, absolutely. So like you say, I think it's probably a story that a lot of people can relate to. I lived my life up until I was 30 as, I would say, a massive people pleaser, doing what I call tick box living. So I was living as I thought I should live according to the expectations of others, which, you know, spoiler alert, that is not the way to go. Not if you want any kind of sense of personal fulfillment and happiness, in my experience anyway. It was a pretty standard life up to that point. I moved out of the village that I grew up in, a very, very small village, to the most local city, still a very small city, Peterborough. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. Often it's just because people have taken a train through there. And I was stayed in the same job, my first job for 13 years, progressed through many roles in that job. That was it really. I had a dog, I had a house, I had a partner. So I was ticking lots of these like expected boxes, right? I can see you nodding. So I know that this is something that resonates with lots of us. And on the outside, and to people on the outside, everything looked great. But I think the kind of pivotal moment for me was when my partner at the time and I had finished saving, we'd bought the house, we moved in, and then I suddenly realized I could see my entire future ahead of me. Like it was one way that I was going. It was talk of marriage, babies, and that was it really. I was staying in the same job, staying in the same location, going on a couple of holidays a year if I was lucky. And something changed in me, something clicked, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is my one life, and this is not the direction that I want to go in. I don't feel fulfilled, I don't feel happy. So there was quite a lot of soul searching at that moment, and this was actually around the time that I really fell in love with a lot of psychology, personal development, self-help. And I really started to get an understanding for this stuff. And that really helped me reflect on and connect to what is important to me. And the most important question, who am I? So I would say they're the two most important questions you can ask yourself. Who are you and what is most important to you? Because definitely, that's what you need to shape. Yeah, that's what you need to shape your life around, right? If you want it to feel good for you.
And they're such big questions, though. So they're not exactly questions that you can just like answer off the back of your hand, unless you've done the work, which itself is not always like, I think there's an idea of this kind of like soul searching that is a bit kind of eat, pray, love-ish. That's like, you're going to go traveling, you're going to connect with yourself. And it's not always like that, especially when you bring in the practicalities of life.
Absolutely. Like doing the work can be just as messy as the painful part that came before it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's definitely worth doing the work, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be all peachy and rosy to do it, even though the outcome is very, very worthwhile. And I only say that because I think that's a lot of what modern, I'm getting right into the nitty gritty of it straight away, but that's what I think a lot of the modern self-help stuff suggests. There's this quick fix, quick win. If this is how you feel, if this is the problem state, here's the solution. But what that does is it misses this space in the middle where actually there's a process to go through. You are human first. And so you need to allow yourself to feel all those things, to process what's happened, to get back to the core of who you are. And then, of course, you can move forwards with solutions and change. If we skip that middle part, it can actually leave us feeling worse than before because we haven't allowed that space and time to process.
That is so true. And I mean, you know me and know that like I definitely have a habit of being like, okay, I feel like this, let's do this and it will fix it. And it doesn't. It really never does. And I like what you said about how, you know, you need to feel those feelings, because I think that, you know, it is what like modern self-help kind of sometimes suggest. And I think it's particularly with things such as like TikTok and Instagram, where you only have like a couple of seconds, someone condenses a self-help kind of message into a couple of seconds, because people don't always read the books. They don't always like, you know, if they listen to a podcast, that's actually like an hour. That's quite amazing compared to like a TikTok. And what it is, it's condensing all these messages, which are actually quite complex in practicality, to like 5 seconds. And then you expect the solution to really like just come in and like, you know, you do that and it's fixed. And that's not how life works. And that's not how these journeys work.
Exactly. Like, I love everything that you've just said, and I couldn't agree more. Like, it's great that we live in a day and age where we have access to so much information and where we can just scroll on our phones and get tips and tricks for this and that. But we have to have this bigger mindset and remind ourselves that that isn't everything. That's a snippet. That's a snapshot. So it's great to get some ideas, but remember that that is just that. It's a little clip and a little highlight.
That's so true. So I want to go back. So, you know, you had lived this tick box life, which I think many of us can fall into the trap of kind of living. You know, you go through, especially with, you know, the school system, how we're like, you know, raised, you know, get this, next step, get this. So you were living that. How did you go from that to where you are now, which is, you know, you live in London, you have the most gorgeous dog ever. You work as a coach, you also have another job. Like, how did you get from there to there?
So just to, I guess, follow on from the theme of what we've already been discussing, it takes time and it's incremental. The key thing were those two points, I think. Getting super clear on actually who am I? Because once I realized that this isn't the life that, if I could live it again, would I choose this exact life? That can be a really powerful question. Either if I had to live this life forever, would I be happy living it forever? Or if I could go back and relive this life, would I make the same decisions? That can be really powerful. But yeah, once I sort of realized that wasn't the life I wanted, that didn't mean I instantly had the answers. It actually just left me with this big kind of void, really, because it's like, okay, so if this isn't what I want, what do I want? And that's, like you said earlier, that's not an easy question to answer. So I made the difficult decision to leave the relationship, leave the house. At that time, I also had to leave my beloved chocolate Labrador behind as well. And I actually moved back in with my parents at 30 years old for 8 months. I still carried on in the same job while I was trying to figure stuff out. And it was a tough time. Like, I felt like everything that I thought I should be doing up to that point, I just made the decision to let go of it all. And it almost, I had to battle that thought in my head that that's wrong, that this isn't what I should be doing. And that somehow meant that I was less than, because I'd let go of these things. Because there was a lot of input externally as well from friends, from family, who were very supportive, don't get me wrong, but they couldn't quite understand why I had let go of these things from the outside seemed great, seemed like I had a great life. So it really took a lot of internal sort of grit in a way, really staying connected to that feeling of, well, I've made this decision because I know that this isn't right for me. And it's okay to sit in the uncertainty of, even though I don't know what is to come, I don't know what I do want. So if you can connect to that part of you that you know is the truth, that's the most important thing, even if you don't know what is coming after it. Stay connected to that truth and things will naturally unfold. So after 8 months, I moved to London, got a new job. This is where it's actually like really a really good example of the incremental change, because the second job that I got, was it the best job that was that? When I say the best job, was it most aligned with who I am now? No. So step by step, I made the brave move of moving to London. I took a different job. It wasn't a very big leap though. So I was still staying within my comfort zone a little bit. And that's okay to make these changes bit by bit. So yeah, that's a little bit more about where I got to then.
You know, I was just going to say, I think it's really important that, you know, like you're saying, there are incremental stages. And there's also like, you know, there's other factors in life as well. And a lot of it also can depend on your circumstances, your privilege within society and what you have. Like, it's so complex that actually, like, as well, like, if you can't give up the job you hate tomorrow, that is actually quite normal. It's all about those small things you can do to get to where you want to be. And I think that too often people think about self-help or, you know, personal development as these big changes, when actually they're not. We do see a lot of the big changes on social media, because where those big changes, like, you know, moving somewhere or getting a different job or a different partner, they've actually got like a ton of small steps behind them that we never see.
Exactly. It's the same thing as like overnight success, right? There's no such thing as overnight success. It's just the only part that we see is that successful moment. We don't see all of the hours and grit and work that went into it. It's the same with self-development. If you see somebody and you think, wow, how do they have so much together? How are they so centered? How do they know themselves so well? You're just seeing the overnight success. You're not seeing the many tears, I'm sure, that went into that as well.
I think that's such an important point to bring up. And I think that I like, you know, you said, and I think you said, like, you know, many tears is like, you know, a bit of like, it's a bit of a joke, but it's actually kind of quite true, because this kind of work actually involves you to not only look at the parts of yourself that, you know, you like, but also you have to look at parts of yourself that you don't like, and actually that, you know, you don't want to focus on. You need to look at those parts. And I think,
and actually,
Carrie, go on.
I was just going to say, look at them and ask yourself why you don't like them. That's actually so much more powerful. That's, I think, where I'm not going to say all of the answers lie, but that's where we need to go in the direction of the discomfort if we really want to get to the bottom of who we are.
Yeah, I do. So for a bit of context, is that I've worked with Amy in a co-working space for a bit, and you gave me many bits of self-help life advice. And my advice that's always stuck with me is, do what makes you feel uncomfortable. And whilst I hate it, and whilst I hate what I have to go through, I'm like, oh, do you know what? Like, I can see in my life what decisions I'm making out of comfort, because I think that's how we often, what I, from like, you know, listening to a lot of podcasts, listening to a lot of self-help books, I've realized, you know, what a lot of people tend to do is they tend to repeat patterns they've learned in, you know, childhood. Because even though those patterns might not be helping them or serving them as an adult, they have the comfort of knowing what that experience is, what to expect. So it might sound a bit weird, like thinking like, oh, well, why am I choosing this? But you're choosing that experience because you're comfortable, because you kind of know the outcome. I think only by choosing discomfort can you grow.
Exactly. There are... if we think about the concept of a comfort zone, the very idea of a zone has a perimeter, right? And so if you stay within that zone, there are things outside of it that you can never get to. So what is sitting outside of your comfort zone currently? What could you not get to that you want to get to if you are not willing to take that step? And again, bringing it back to incremental changes, right? You don't have to do something that is from 0 to 100. There's this concept of comfort zone, stretch zone, and then panic zone. We don't want to take you straight from your comfort zone and then airlift you down into panic zone. That's a step too far. But what can you do to get to even not even step into the stretch zone? Maybe just go to the edge of the comfort zone and look out what's out there. Get comfortable with that first and then take that first step, put one foot into the stretch zone.
I think that's such a good bit of advice. And I guess I'm trying to think like practically how you can do this and like what tools you can use to monitor. Like something I do is, you know, I will like try like write down when I've done something and been like, okay, I felt like this. And then I try it again and I see how I feel again. Because it's a lot of exploration and a lot of like, because also I think you will do stuff and realize you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
yeah, exactly.
It's a lot, I think, because I think like sometimes we do the things like we'll try new experiences and we'll expect to love them. We're like, oh, I'm gonna put myself out of my comfort zone. Sometimes you just don't like enjoy it because it's not who you are.
Exactly. And that's okay, because that tells you something about yourself. Whether it's a quote unquote positive outcome or a negative outcome, that still points you in a direction, right?
Yeah.
It's either a towards that thing because you really loved it, so you're going to do more of that thing or more of the things that are similar, or it's an away from, because it's like, okay, so that didn't quite work for me. So I can think of an example of I went to a dance class and I went a few times and I did enjoy it, but clearly I haven't enjoyed it enough. It didn't connect with me enough for me to prioritize that over other things because I haven't been for a long time. But on the flip side, I've just started learning how to play the drums, which is like a lifelong unrealized dream for me. And I actually have my drumsticks on my desk just because it's like I'm practicing at every given opportunity with anything around me. And that's an example of, I tried that thing, I thought I would like it, and I did. And it's now ignited like a little spark in me and I can't get enough of it. So what you're saying about try something new, try and keep the expectation at bay and then see how you feel. Did it light you up or didn't it? And it's okay, whichever the result is, because you get information and feedback and you can use that feedback.
Yeah, I love that you're starting drumming. I love that because I think as well, they kind of, as we become adults, our like treatment of like hobbies, it becomes very different. When you're like adulting, it's like you actually have to actively make time for it. And I've had conversations with friends recently where like, it's like, oh, what hobbies do I have? And it's also like, you know, then you have to choose to invest in it and invest time. And when you're an adult, you know, you have not got like after school clubs and things like that. So it's much more of a conscious decision. But I think there's something to said. It's so important to have hobbies and have things that you, like you say, spark you up, because how you find that happiness in life and how you find your purpose and how you find yourself is through those activities.
Exactly. And it's really funny that you say we have to like proactively go and seek these out, because the reason the drum thing came about, I was on holiday and there was a band and I was watching the drummer and I was like, oh, I'd love to play drums. And I've said this so many times every time I see live music. And then I just thought to myself, hang on, I'm an adult with an income. I can take drum lessons. Like, this is okay. I'm in charge of my own life. I can try it out. So yeah, I love that. And the point as well about seek out things that light you up, because we do live within the constraint of the society that we're in. You know, we can't just jet off to a desert island and live a life of luxury. Not everyone, it's not possible for everyone, for the most of us, actually. So there are constraints, right? We do need jobs, we do need income. So there are going to be things that you have to do that drain your energy. But what can you do to recharge? What can you do to balance out the things that might be more draining with the things that light you up? And that's where things like hobbies or the purpose point or things that just give you energy are so, so important.
Yeah, I think as well, it's like hard to find, it's not always easy to find them. I think that like it, that's why it's so important to take time to explore this. And I guess it's where it comes to like finding out who you are. And it's often, I think, when you have like left university, you've like kind of found, you know, you're maybe moved to a new city or you're by yourself or you're actually like making a lot more decisions in your life. It's kind of the first times that a lot of us are actually like, you have to question what you value. You have to question because there are so many decisions you can make in life. And I think there's a little bit of pressure as well to make the right decision when in fact it isn't. What kind of society deems is the right decision is like kind of what you've said is like the status markers. So, you know, you have the status of the house, the partner, the dog, and that is all like to do with kind of like, it's very old, you know, old kind of what was valued, but it actually might not be reflective of what you want. And I think.
No, and that's.
Carry on. You go. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that's exactly it. It's. Whether it's reflective of what you want, there is no right or wrong way to live life. The best way to live life is the best way for you. So if people are out there and they have followed what I'm calling a tick box life and they are happy and they are fulfilled and that lights them up, that is exactly what I'm talking about. You have like nailed it. For me, that didn't work. And it's learning to be able to come back to yourself for the answers and to find the answers within you, because we're programmed to seek the answers outside of ourselves. You touched upon the school systems and things like this. You know, we're programmed from an early age to listen to the people around us, to pay attention to the adults, to do what we need to do to fit in and not cause a fuss. And actually, there's a lot to be said for being able to connect with, like I said, who you are, what's important to you. And sometimes there's a lot of unpicking that we need to do before we can even get to that, because we have to take off all those layers that have been put on us. So yeah, love that.
So you kind of had this realization in your 30s. And I think there's definitely something to be said that it's not too late to change how you live your life. Because I think that like, I mean, I've had conversations with people who are like, not even like late 20s, like mid 20s. And they're like, oh, it's too late. I can't do that. Oh, I'm too old. And I think that like there's something to be said that it's like not too late to change how you live your life. And you're just the perfect example of that.
Exactly. And there's so many famous examples as well of people that found their calling or became a success, quote unquote, later on into their life. Now, if we use a definition of that, of like finding what lights you up and living in a way that makes you excited to get up every day and makes you feel fulfilled, then that, as long as you have breath left in your body, you can change how you're living to feel closer to who you are and happier with what you're doing. Like the only time that's no longer possible is when we're no longer alive, right? And if you think about it, perhaps when people say that, some of it comes from wanting to stay in that comfort zone without realizing it, because the fear of the change actually at that point overweighs the fear of staying where they are. And that's such an important point, because that was what happened for me. And that's happened to me twice in my life. So the first time is just before I turned 30, when the fear of staying where I was became so much bigger than the fear of the unknown. Now, if you can make a move before you feel that much fear, then great. If you're that connected to yourself, great. I'd really encourage you to make that change sooner, because it's a scary kind of flying by the seat of your pants moment when you are like, all I know is that I can't stay here. And then the second time was, I'd already sort of mentioned that I got to the edge of my comfort zone. Maybe I stepped into my stretch zone, but I still had, and I still have a lot of figuring out to do about who I am, what's important. So I didn't step too far into it. And actually that meant I stayed in a job for another 3 years. And I had a similar kind of revelation after 3 to 4 years in that job where I was like, hang on, I see what's happening. I'm doing the same thing that I did before. I've made a few big changes, but now the dust has settled and I'm getting back into that comfort zone and I'm losing touch with what's important to me. And so then the next big change happened. And I quit my job actually just before the pandemic. So I did stay on for another year after my initial letter of resignation, which I was very lucky and appreciative to be able to do. But I had quit my job. I had a one-way ticket to Thailand. I was going to go and train to be a yoga teacher. Didn't really know what I was doing beyond that. But I knew again that this felt like the right thing for me in that moment. So it was like another shedding of a skin, I guess. So that's, I just wanted to touch upon that to really highlight that this is such a process and it is an ongoing process. And I'm sure that there'll be another point in it, however long, where I'm like, okay, I'm doing that thing again. I'm starting to get comfortable. What, you know, how do I make sure I'm staying close to me?
I think they're like, it's okay to be comfortable if you're comfortable in a situation where you're living your true self. Like, I don't think that you should necessarily avoid comfort, because I think if it's aligned with you, your values, and you're living a life where you're comfortable, actually, mm-hmm. that's the dream. I think that's where you find happiness.
Yeah, that's so true. And you are quite rightly pulling me up on my use of the word comfort. And this is such an interesting point, because this just demonstrates as well the importance of understanding the meaning that someone applies to a word, because that's all words are, a symbol to represent what that person, kind of the foundations that word sits upon for that person. So the meaning I give to comfort now, because I have gone through this process so many times, it's equivalent to the word settle for me. So it has a negative connotation for me. And I love that you picked up on that and you were like, actually, other people will probably be like, okay, so I'm comfortable. Oh no, this is a bad thing. No, it's not. It's an equation, right? Comfort, happiness, contentment, fulfillment, great. But if you feel comfortable in the sense that I'm not growing, and one of my biggest values personally is growth, if I feel comfortable in the sense that I feel like I have settled, and that means that there is distance between where I am and who I am, then that's a negative. So yeah, it's the context is really, really important there.
Definitely. And I think that idea of like your values is really important, and like something I'd encourage like listeners to do, something that I've done that's been really pivotal, is I've like sat down, I've just wrote down what my values are and what, but not just the word, but what that word means to me. Because like you said, there's loads of like different kind of understandings of certain words and what they mean. And, you know, it's fine, like the dictionary definition of stuff, that's fine. But what actually matters is what that means to you. So like one of my values, like you said, is growth. And it's like, well, what does that actually mean to me? And that for me is actually like, am I going kind of towards becoming a better person? And I think I'd urge everyone to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And becoming a better person doesn't mean that who you are currently isn't enough, right? We need to get out of this habit of thinking that one thing means that the other thing can't exist. These things can coexist. You can evolve and grow and be becoming a better person. You can recognize traits in yourself that you want to change, and you are still enough right now as you currently are. Like, just because you see an opportunity for improvement doesn't mean that you're not enough, because to do so would assume that there is a point in time in our life that we reach and we are quote unquote fixed and we are good and there are no problems. We're a constant evolution, and throughout that evolution, in every moment, we are enough exactly as we are. Rant over, but that's something I feel strongly about.
No, it is so important. And I think like, in self-help and personal development, you eventually will always reach a point where actually you've done the work and actually you can't do anymore. And those parts of yourself that you thought were going to change, actually got to learn to love them. You've got to...
Yeah, and integrate them.
Yeah, and there are parts of your you and who you are that don't need to change. And I think that like sometimes we think that like, especially, you know, what we see on social media was like, oh, do you know what? I can become them. Don't become them.
become you, fully 100% you, because that is magical. That is beautiful. And when you are you, that is when the real good stuff happens in life. That is when you make those great connections, when you make those great impacts. Like, it's becoming you. So don't try to become someone else. So embrace the flaws. And I think that's something really important to say. So yeah, my rant is now over.
I love that. And I was listening to a podcast with Terry Crews on it the other day, and he said something that has stuck with me, and it was, you don't need to try to be the best because you are the only. And by being the only, you are automatically the best because you're the only version of you, right? So if we want to bring the use of the word best into it, think about it in the context of the fact that you don't need to be the best because you are the only.
I love that. That's gonna save me today. Well, I mean, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and I mean, this is such a great chat. I could talk to you about this stuff all day. And I want to end on the kind of the question that I ask everyone, which is, you know, if someone right now, you know, they don't feel like it gets better, whether they are stuck in a job they don't like or a living situation or a relationship, you know, they feel like that is it. They're stuck here. What would you say to that person?
Love this question. So I would say, first and foremost, regardless of the number of things that are not within your control, there are always things that are within your control. If you want to know more about that topic, you can read the Viktor E. Frankl book, Man's Search for Meaning. This was someone who managed to find a sense of control within himself, within his mind, within his body, when he was in a concentration camp. So that's like one of the most extreme versions of, there is so much outside of your control. And yet, even in those moments where you feel like you're stuck and there's nothing that you can do, there are small things that are within your control. So focus on those, because that's where the power is. That's where the opportunity for change is. Then I would say, remember, like we have said so many times throughout this conversation, change is incremental. I feel like I'm going to throw out lots of book recommendations, but Atomic Habits is another great book by James Clear. And that talks about the power of small incremental changes. And so focus on the few things that are within your control and think about how you can change those. Then I would say, get super, super clear on what lights you up and what doesn't, because this is the route into your values. You might see values exercises that tell you to look at a list of words and pick the ones that mean the most to you. That's a great place to start, but that kind of values exercise, in my experience, doesn't go deep enough, because if it was that easy, we would all be very, very clear on what our values are and we would be living in accordance with them. We need to think about what they are, live in accordance with those as much as possible, and keep coming back to, does this seem like it was true for me? So I think at that point, it's really about starting to think, right, what's lighting me up? What's draining me? Start bringing that back to, okay, so what does that mean is important to me? For example, if you spend a lot of time socializing and you realize that as much as you love your friends and family, that you're finding that quite draining, then clearly time alone to recharge is something that's important to you, right? So that information, that feedback can be used to calibrate, to tweak your life in the areas that you have control, to save your energy and to start to light you up more, because we are peeling back a layer of who we are, what's important to us, and then we're implementing change that allows us to get closer to it. So I think if I'm going to keep it to like three tips, that would be it for now. Think about what's within your control. Take small incremental changes and constantly ask yourself and check in with like what lights you up and what drains you. I like to call this like energy audit sometimes. You can look at your week and do a red, amber, green across all the stuff that goes on during your week. Red, it drains you. Amber, neutral. Green, it lights you up. And think about how much time you're spending where and how you can shift that. And then after that, it is really then starting to delve into the values, which I would highly recommend working on with somebody else, not necessarily even a professional, but having conversations with people about values can be really helpful, because they can ask the questions that you might not see.
Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you love the podcast, you could really help me out by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Reviews really help podcasts like mine grow, and it would be amazing if you could do it. I hope you have a fantastic week, and just remember that, hey, it gets better.